Thank you. Holy Spirit, come and be with us. Come. Let your Spirit come and be with us. Be our teacher. Be our comforter. Be our guide. Be our strength. You are our all in all. And that's just reality. So come and be among us. We invite you to come wherever we are and settle things around us so that we can focus on the word of the Lord for tonight, for our nation in the days ahead, so we can pray effectively into these critical things on behalf of our nation. I thank you, Lord, for your presence in your precious and holy name. Amen. So over the last couple of the last night and tonight, we're praying over the 9 R's. And if you don't know what those are, it's good that you're on, because last night and tonight we're praying over them, and it will help you understand how to pray about them. But you can go to our website and click in the search engine, praying the 9 R's, and you just have to do the letter R, and it will pop up. And you click on that, and the English, the Chinese, and the Korean version are all there, so that you can click on them, you can print it out, and understand what it means to pray the 9 R's, a little bit more about the 9 R's, and I'm going to talk about 2 of those tonight. But first, I want to share an experience I had back in 2019 with you. And we were at the DC GOE, and this was October 2019. In the DC Gathering of the Eagles, we were in worship, and I had this open vision. And I did not share this with anyone at the time. That was actually our first GOE without Mom, and it was... We felt like a bunch of kids there without Mom, and it was, but I didn't share this with her. I did share it with a couple of staff, but in this vision, it was an open vision. It spanned the length of the room, and it was a timeline that the Lord gave me. And in this timeline, on this timeline, I could see, that there were arcs in the earth that the presence of God spiked. Like, they were tremendous arcs in the earth. And it was actually a beautiful experience, because I could see in, and it was kind of etched in gold, I could see events taking place before my eyes. And it was, when these events would take place, there would be this mighty arc in the presence of God that would just penetrate the earth. It was remarkable. And these were the ones that the Lord pointed out and highlighted. I am not saying by this that there were not other events in history where God's presence hasn't been profound, hasn't been felt. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, for the purpose of this experience that the Lord gave me, these are the events that he showed me. The first one would be creation. And we read about that in Genesis 1 and 2. The second one was Mount Sinai. And this is in Exodus 19 to 31. One of the reasons this is so critical is because of what the nation of Israel went through as they became a nation of Israel. It was a profound thing. Mom shared a couple of things last night as she talked about the fear of God. In fact, she gave profound revelation during her talk on the fear of God last night. And in this experience, I saw the arc of God and the presence of God come on Mount Sinai. And Mom actually called me and read to me a couple of things that I hope that one day we can share with you to give you even greater detail about what took place in the spirit and in the natural on that day, where the presence of God hit the earth as it penetrated, as he penetrated the nation of Israel. As we move through history, the next one the Lord showed me was the dedication of Solomon's temple. This was another very profound time in the history of Israel. That, you know, that final dedication that David so desperately wanted to be able to do, but was not allowed because he was a man of war. But he stored up and prepared things for Solomon to be able to execute and build the house of God. And when they dedicated Solomon's temple, the Spirit of the Lord came in such a profound way that the Bible tells us that the fire of God came down and consumed the tens of thousands of animal sacrifices that took place in that dedication. And his spirit moved about the camp so mightily that those working in the temple, that the priests, were unable to stand in the presence of God. They were unable to stand because the power of God was so intense. If we move, and this is in 2 Chronicles 1 through 7. If we move forward, we look at the first great awakening. This is the ministry of Christ, the work of the cross, and the release of Holy Spirit through to the end of the first century. This ark impacted and changed the world as it was known. We live and breathe and have access to him because of the work of Christ, the work of the cross, and the release of Holy Spirit. We still benefit today, not simply from what we see in the Gospels, what we read about in Acts, but as the earth itself, from the presence, the mighty presence of our Lord and Holy Spirit in that season of time. If we move forward, we go to the second great awakening. And this is where I'm going to talk a little bit more, because this leads into what God is about to do. This is a Pentecostal move of God that swept the earth in the early 1900s. Now, this was opened up. What paved the way for this was the Reformation, the Martin Luther Reformation. That's what paved the way for America to be born. That's what paved the way for the Revolutionary War. That's what paved the way for this nation to grow and expand, and eventually for the revival, the Pentecostal revival that took place in our country and that swept the entire earth. Within 2 years, that revival spanned 60 countries when there were no airplanes. That's a move of God that is so mighty, man cannot stop it in its tracks. Because the Spirit of God is flowing and the outpouring is sent to transform the earth and shift it into its next phase in history. Now, each of these had varying degrees of arcs in the presence of the Lord. But let me tell you, what I saw, the last and final arc, was the third great awakening that we have yet to see, that I believe is not far off. This is a time that we will see, as Bob Jones has prophesied, the billion soul harvest. That was some time ago, and I believe that number will be even greater. What God is doing in the earth today is preparing for that. There's things that must take place, though, in our nation and in the nations of the earth to prepare the way for the Spirit of God to move in such a manner. Now, I'm going to read a translator's bits, the paper that I sent you. I'm just going to read two paragraphs from here. And this is April 30th, 1789. And it's from a book, 100 Bible Verses That Made America. 100 Bible Verses That Made America. April 30th, 1789. General Washington was dressed in a modest, double-breasted brown suit with buttons embossed with eagles. A sword dangled at his side. His face was careworn. The Bible before him, bound in rich brown leather, has been hastily borrowed from the altar of a nearby St. John's Lodge. It rested on a red cushion held by Samuel Otis, Secretary of the Senate, and it was opened to Genesis 49, the passage containing the blessings of Jacob to his 12 sons who were destined to become a great nation. After placing his hand on the Bible, the general listened to the oath of office, which was quoted by Robert Livingston, Chancellor of New York. After hearing the final words, "Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States," Washington said, "I do." And then he did something extraordinary. To the thrill of the crowd and in full view of posterity, he removed his hand from Genesis 49, and then reverently bent down, and he kissed the Bible. Our founding fathers, whether they were believers or not, understood the value, the moral precepts, the integrity, and the life's lessons one could learn from reading and studying the Word of God. This set a precedence in this hour. After the Revolutionary War, the nation needed to see their first president come forward as a man who honored the Word of God. Reformation evolved into revolution and brought about the United States of America, a nation that men and women fought and died to give birth to. That's the power of revolution. That's the power of reformation. That's the power of the nine R's. Reformation brings change. Revival alone cannot do what Reformation does. We look at the European Reformation under Martin Luther, and it literally impacted the earth and gave birth to this nation. It sent into shockwaves across the earth, paving the way for America to be born. This was God's plan, his historical plan. Now, when we did our first gathering, and I was just talking to Mom about this today in preparation for this, when we did our first gathering in Jacksonville, a prophet was there. He was among our leadership team, and the Lord came and took him up and showed him the angel of reformation and said that he had been installed in the work of the gatherings and that reformation had begun. Now, over the course of the last couple hundred years, from the time our nation, you know, first inaugurated Washington to our first gathering, and it was in 99, I believe, or 2000, I think it was in 2000, a few things had been implemented in our nation.
99.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A few things had been implemented in our nation, and infiltrations had taken place, and the honor of the Word of God had been watered down. And it was time for reformation to come, and we need reformation. And so the angel of reformation was given to the work of the gatherings. That's why the work of the gatherings is so critical, because we're working under the commission of the Lord in conjunction with the angel of reformation. Everything that we've seen take place in the last 22 years, 23 years, has been the work of reformation. And you think, well, things are kind of looking bad right now. Well, you know, the whole darkness before dawn, and you know, you gotta, you know, I bought a house in 2000. It needed a lot of work, and it took some renovation, and it was really messy to get things repaired. And so a little messy is necessary to get the job done. So what we've seen taking place over the last 22, 23 years has been the process of reformation. Reformation brings change. Reformation releases the power of God to dig down to the root of sin and establish a new beginning, repairing the waste places of the generations. Reformation restores true doctrine and lifts the Christian church, nations, to a new awakening and deep changes in God. It is the greatest of all special interventions by God. There is no area of life that it does not affect. It affects the in the secular realm, it affects government, it affects the church, it affects the people. Every level is impacted. Businesses, every level, if you think about the, you know, we've heard lots of talk about the seven mountains, education, that's academia, media, entertainment, business, government, etc. All of that is impacted by reformation. Reformation brings tremendous change and shift in the world. So reformation evolves into revolution, and there's more to that. It's on our website. You can read through it, but for the sake of time, I am shortening this. Reformation evolves into revolution. Reformation is the awakening, and revolution is the implementation of that necessary change. So revolution will impact the church. The church will arise and reclaim the ancient faith, letting go of compromise. There will be a dramatic end-time escalation of kingdom life as a result of revolution. The people will be impacted. There'll be a great revolution whereupon the lovers of America will arise and take back our country. This doesn't mean we pick up arms and we run somewhere to overthrow someone. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a revolution that stands, where the people rise up and stand against tyranny, which is what we see taking place in our nation today. People are taking a stand against tyranny. In spite of the odds, there is an inner drive to stand against tyranny. Look at DeSantis, for example. The Lord gave me a dream, and in that dream, he said, "Watch DeSantis, and you will see what I am doing with my nation." Every policy we see DeSantis implementing in that state That's actually being provoked by God. And it is stirring in the hearts of the people of this country. You'd be surprised at how many people in the nation want those policies set in place in their nation, their states as well. We have several states that are implementing similar policies to that, but the Lord told me, keep my eye on DeSantis, and that's why I keep speaking about him. He's a man that is executing justice in his state. He's a man that's standing against tyrannical reign of corporate, a big corporate like Disney. He's a man that stands against the tyranny of media. He's the man that stands against the tyranny of, you know, of an invasion in our country. He stands against the CCP. He is a man who stands against oppression and against tyrannical reign in the nation. It's very important that we keep our eye on him, because it will give us encouragement and lift up our faith for what God is doing in our nation. This is what I talk about. That's what I mean when the lovers of America arise and take back their country. What's here, what's coming in greater form is a divine revolution. It's a revolution that's going to be as complete as it was in the days of George Washington. This is why when we pray over the nine R's, it's so critical. This is why when the Lord brings things to light, we target it in prayer. Because by praying them through, we are ensuring God's will is done in the earth. Reformation and revolution brings the kingdom of heaven into the earth. Kingdom principles into the earth. So when we pray according to God's will, we are releasing the kingdom of heaven in the earth. It will impact every aspect of our lives before this is over. Now, yesterday and today, now back to the last 36 hours. And I was speaking with Mom about this today. This morning, let me step back to yesterday. So due to typical signs that the Lord gives us, he often gives us the sign of rain, that we have done a great work in our time in prayer. It usually happens during a GOE, is he will bring in a great rain to confirm and show us a sign that we have accomplished something great in the Spirit. And so yesterday morning when I was in prayer, the Lord gave me a vision. He came in front of me, actually, and stood, and before him was a table. And our nation was on that table. On top of the table was a mound of dirt, which was supposed to be the nation, where a house of cards had been built. It was not stable, but the elite were quite proud of it. And I wondered if this represented the Build Back Better plan. It's a product of not Biden, but Klaus Schwab, that's the head of the World Economic Forum, and Larry Fink, who's the head of BlackRock. The Lord reached over, and he pulled out one card. Then he leaned down, and he blew, and the whole house of cards fell. As soon as this occurred, the rubble underneath was exposed. The Lord cleared up the cards, and he threw them to the floor, and he began to rebuild the rubble. It was a quick work, and it was so quick, in fact, that his hands were a blur. When he was finished, the nation was alive. And what I mean by that is the nation was living. It had been revived. They're working so hard to destroy our country, even down to bringing death into the soil. But the soil was alive and full of life. From the soil all the way up through the body of Christ, you could see it. It was alive and vibrant when he was done. The second thing that he showed, he confirmed with a sign of unexpected rain, both in Seattle and in Fresno overnight. This is very rare for Fresno to have rain in the middle of summer. So, but we have, but God typically will do this with us since the GOEs began. Third, he gave Mom a supernatural and explosive joy for an unknown reason that spanned last night, from last night at about 10:30 our time until this morning. This is a typical sign he's used with her for decades when he's intervened supernaturally. Fourth, another sign he frequently gives when a major supernatural intervention is given in the presence of a single strike of lightning on or by a major public building, which, like last night, follows a vision of the same. That does not necessarily mean that he set the lightning only that he might at wait, that doesn't necessarily mean he sent this lightning only that he might at other times use it as a sign. Last night in particular, because we know that last night lightning struck in front of the White House. And we know that there was an unfortunate casualty, three actually. I just heard that a third person passed away. And I'm so sorry to say that they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But we're praying for that fourth person. But Jesus predetermined to use this major event, and as it is with sadness that we receive the secondary issue, that being the loss of life involving people that were surely deeply loved, again, he didn't send this bolt of lightning, neither did he intentionally kill innocent people. We just want to make that clear in this little speech here. So why did the Lord choose to use this situation to speak his message? Because in the natural, as the first issues roll out to completion, there will be unexpected incidental casualties. It is a strong warning for the need for prayer. As we pray for these families from last night, let us remember that our great hope of the fall of this house of cards will also have an unexpected casualty unless we pray. The Lord is now turning his attention on the illegal resident, so to speak, of the White House. Mom saw a sign several years ago wherein lightning struck the Washington Monument, leaving behind noticeable damage. That was a sign to us that he was going to start dealing with the Illuminati, which he has been doing ever since. I also want to add that several years ago, we were praying in a GOE over the Catholic Church, and lightning struck the Vatican during that GOE. So why am I sharing this with you? Because we are in the midst of great reformation and revolution is en route. Revolution. What was the Revolutionary War about? It was to set us free from the oppressive hand of the crown and to birth this nation, a nation for them and for their posterity, which would be us. Every person that is a citizen of this country, every person that has been born in this country, every person that is a descendant of a person who immigrated to this country shares the benefit of the revolution that birthed this country. God is reshaping. He is reforming, and he is releasing this nation in preparation for the third great awakening. What must come, the house of cards must come down. They must be fully exposed and brought down. And the people of this nation must rise up, lest someone else come and try to bring another oppressive rule over us. The people of this nation must fight for the freedom that God birthed this nation to grant us. Some who walk alongside us immigrated to this country, and they went through the process to become citizens of our nation, and they deeply love our country. They deeply cherish the privilege of being considered an American, and they fight alongside us in prayer because they've come from nations where the freedom to pray, the freedom to serve and honor God, the freedoms that we, unfortunately, for far too long took for granted, do not exist in those nations. The enemy is trying to bring about the Third World War, but God is saying, I am about to release my spirit in the nations of the earth. The enemy may seek to destroy, but I am about to bring life and bring my spirit in the earth. I will touch the heart of my children. I will touch the heart of their parents. I will reunite the mothers with the sons and the fathers with their daughters. I will reunite the people with me. Press in and press on, my friends, because the battle is great, but we are on the cusp of the victory that we have fought for 23 years now. Hold fast to the call. Hold fast to the promises, because the house of cards is about to come down. It's already set in motion, and we will see the victory, the policies, and the releases like we are seeing take place in Florida. We will see it roll out across our nation. Just hold tight. Hold tight. Thank you, Father.